But first, when it rains, it pours. A break from the drought came down hard on the Austin area. As much as a foot of rain fell in 12 hours. North Texas is seeing some spillover, maybe an inch or two through Wednesday. Texas is still a long way, though, from an end to drought. But civil engineers and environmental leaders worry the state's aging dams have been left high and dry. KUT's Mose Bushell reports.
Texas has more dams than any other state, more than 7,300 of them, like the one I visited last summer.
We're on top of the dam at Lake Brownwood. Downstream is the population of Brownwood and Early. And if we have a dam failure, it's going to be catastrophic.
Troy Henderson is the chief of Lake Patrol for the Brownwood Water Improvement District in West Central Texas.
And there's a lot of dams that we did come across that would scare me to live downstream from them.
The data backs him up. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality is the state agency responsible for dam safety. Of the roughly 1,900 dams it inspected since 2008, 250 were in bad condition. Around 2,000 of the state's dams were built with federal help in the wake of the Great Drought of the 1950s. Almost all of those are now past or reaching their 50-year lifespan. But Wes Birdwell, an Austin-based civil engineer, says it's difficult to get people to pay attention. After all, floods still happen in Texas, but that's hard for people to remember years into the ongoing drought.
Well, sure, you know, my roof doesn't leak when it doesn't rain, you know, the old song says.
I couldn't mend it now on a rainy day.
And he says the state's aging infrastructure is only part of the problem.
You know, say your great-grandpa got home from World War I and he had an Army surplus bulldozer. And he bought this piece of property out there with his GI Bill, and he went and got his bulldozer, and he scraped some dirt up, and he built a dam, and it's been there for 80 years.
He fished on it, your dad fished on it.
And it's never had a problem, and there's been several floods, and it hasn't had a problem.
Then one day, a ranch downstream is sold to a developer. Houses start going up, and you start looking at that old dam a little differently. Now, lives and property are at risk if it fails, and
you've got to spend all this money. That is a problem.
There is no place for owners to go to get money. So if they wanted to rehab their dam and it was going to cost $100,000 to do, there's no place to go get that money.
This is Warren Samuelson.
I'm the manager of the dam safety section for the TCEQ. Anything associated with a dam, we do it.
He says about 60% of dams in the state are privately owned. Many of those owners couldn't afford to rehabilitate their dams even if they wanted to.
We have a lot of people call us and say, well, I want to fix this, but I have no money to do it. There's also cities call us and ask us the same thing. And, you know, their source of money could be taxation.
Samuelson would like the state to set up a fund that could aid cash-strapped dam owners. And so far, Texas lawmakers have been uninterested. This year, lawmakers reduced the number of dams that will be inspected, a decision that could put property and lives at risk. For State Impact Texas, I'm Mose Bushell.
Changing weather is just one factor that produces that classic ambiguous symptom, headaches. Doctors have been diagnosing more cases of Chiari malformation as the source of extreme headaches and other pains from exertion. Dr. Sabatino Bianco of Texas Health Arlington Memorial Hospital explains in this installment of KERA's Vital Signs.
If you look at the skull, it's a big cavity and then ends up with a tiny hole at the bottom where the spinal cord goes down your spine. The Chiari 1 patients, usually are teenagers and adults, the very bottom of the brain hangs inside this hole, if you will. So there is a lot of stuff going on in there, and there's compression on the spinal cord and the brain. Now, the second kind of Chiari 2 is something more common. We see that at birth, usually. Children which are born with combination of this descent of the brain in the spinal cord, along with an open spina bifida, which is also called malomeningocele.
What causes that to happen?
We believe that that occurs in the late stage of the development as a fetus before birth. Either there is not enough fluid built, but we also know, though, in some early in children, if you take too much spinal fluid, they can have this condition where the brain descend inside the spinal canal. It is much more severe than the one we see commonly, type 1.
It's not necessarily a common condition, but there are more cases being diagnosed now?
We believe that the number is somewhat in the 1 per 1,000 in the population, so it's not that rare. But now with new MRIs, we can see the brain, we can see the malformation. Before it was more CAT scan, almost a guessing.
So it wasn't until the symptoms came on that you would know that someone might have had it at all.
Exactly. We only had patients with severe symptoms at that time. Now we can see early stages of the problem.
So you could have symptoms or not have any symptoms at all and still have this condition, or?
I would say more you have symptoms like headache with exertion. We have teenagers playing football or playing sports, and when they really run fast or exert, they can have severe headaches. Unless you have a physician who really knows about this condition, they may just tell you.
It could be any of a number of things.
Yes, sir. The answer really is there are symptoms, but unless you really know how to put this together, you may not get to the right diagnosis.
So how do you test or diagnose for this?
I would recommend if a child, a young adult, or even adult, start having symptoms of a severe headache associated with the exertion. Like you go in the gym working out, or you start running, jogging, or anything, have bad headaches. If you start having something like a difficulty moving your arms, numbness, tingling, vertigo, like a ringing in your ears, or if you have difficulty like swallowing, can be back pain, could be leg being like a restless leg syndrome, go talk to your primary care, your physician.
Is it now routine to test for this at childbirth?
No, sir.
Should it be?
I would only test children born with the spina bifida. If a child is born with a malformation of the spine, they are routinely tested. For normal children, we don't.
How do you treat it?
The early days, when I began, we were trained to remove the very bottom of the brain to make more room. Then we learned the brain is meant to be the way it is. So now we actually open the base of the skull. We pretty much remove the bone, reshape the skull, so we don't touch the brain. We just give more room for the structure to be in there and not be all cramped together. We just see the patient a couple of times after surgery to make sure they have no complication. Then they go back to their lives, and they can have a completely regular lifestyle. There's not really any limitation in sports or jobs or anything that they can actually do.
Dr. Sabatino Bianco is a neurosurgeon with Texas Health Arlington Memorial Hospital. There's more on Chiari malformations at breakthroughs.kera.org. The Kimball Art Museum has opened a major new exhibition, The Age of Picasso and Matisse. In his review, KERA's Jerome Weeks says the two artists are just the links holding together an entire panorama of modern art.
The age of Picasso and Matisse is simply glorious. To be crudely monetary, it probably has more masterworks per square inch than any other recent art exhibition. Consider it a good value for the adult ticket price of $18. That's because for all its aura of serious culture, the Kimball does like to give the public what it wants. This is the sixth show in 14 years with some connection to Picasso. But of all those touring shows, this is the one most likely to make your eyes widen. Over here, there's the sharp precision of Picasso's early cubism. These are paintings like diamond drills. Set against them are Matisse's evocations of languid Mediterranean life. Turn a corner and there's Vasily Kandinsky and his delirious colors. And so on. 4 years ago, the Art Institute of Chicago loaned the Kimball its Impressionists for a blockbuster show. Now it's the 20th century's turn. If you saw these pieces in Chicago, they had dozens of other artworks clustered around. Here, they're extracted, concentrated. Rarely has the explosion of early modern art been packed so vividly into 98 paintings and sculptures. We get leading expressionists, then cubists, futurists, dadaists, surrealists. The show makes the case that Picasso and Matisse were always there, pushing and experimenting. But subtract their works, and the Kimball Show is still a phone directory of avant-garde masters. Modigliani, Miro, Max Ernst, Duchamp. No exhibition this rich is just a checklist of greats. There are unexpected grace notes here. A big, bold Max Beck